Probably the meeting coming up over at Valdosta will probably be the termination of the thing that we're doing in this cycle of meetings until God makes a new move out of it. But anyway, it's a great thing in what God's doing, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. And I want to talk with you a little bit tonight if I can. The other night, I feel a different atmosphere here tonight. The night over at Albany, I felt there's a real spirit of unbelief there. People were skeptical in their spirit, and I just didn't feel, I don't know, they just didn't come to church right that night for some reason. But I feel a different atmosphere here tonight, and I'm just thankful to be here and try to talk with you a little bit. Before I try to talk with you, I think it's fair that I mention just a few things to you. I can't really get into what I'd like to get into in explaining what I see is happening. But I'd like to just mention a word or two along, and then as the Lord will allow us to, as we go from time to time, then we'll get into something and try to share something with you. Now, in the book of Revelation, in the 13th chapter, in just a moment we're going to read over there. I don't know whether you've noticed or not. I know John has. I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but on this trip that we made, there were 7 days that ended in the Cordell meeting, and then we went back. The 7 days of the Cordell meeting had to do specifically with the church ages, and what I understand. So then we went back, and at the end of that typical thing concerning the church ages, we went to Brother Ben Howard's, where we had a wonderful meeting, because Ben, being typical of the Jew, then at the end of the church ages, the Jews are to come in. Ben had asked me to come there many times. I'd never been there before. But I felt, before I ever left Cordell, that I'd be going up into a meeting or two there that would have to do with Brother Ben Howard and Peter Street. So, sure enough, when we got up there, we got the invitation to come over, and we did. Now, I'm not going to try to elaborate and get into the cycle of what happened. I'd like to one night, and if the atmosphere gets right, you get hungry enough, the Lord sees fit, well, I'll try my best to get into it and explain to you exactly what I understand. But this has followed a pattern of the journey in the wilderness. It has followed a cycle. If you'll take your map, you'll find out that the entirety of these meetings that Brother John Lane has set up has been in a circle. It's in a complete circle, like a pyramid. Thank you, brother. And if you'll notice that we're getting down to the last part of it, which has to do with Valdosta. Now, Brother Taylor mentioned tonight something concerning the climax. I'd already mentioned to my wife how that I noticed that this little place called the climax was nearby. When I mentioned to her this, I had already considered the fact, and we had discussed it, that Bainbridge was to have to do with the climax of what was happening. Now, this is a port of entry down here, and they've got a drawbridge here. And it has to do with coming down to the place of the crossing. Now, Georgia in general has been a wilderness. I don't know whether you know that or not, but it has been a wilderness, and it was way back there when, I believe it was King George III, took the prisoners out of prison and turned them loose, got them the right to get out when they were indebted to the king and so forth, and turned them loose in the state of Georgia to settle the place. And Georgia has always been a very poor place, a place of common people. And of course, God always chooses the common people, because the Bible said that the common people heard the Lord gladly when he came to preach, and salvation is sent unto the poor. So God has chosen it for that specific purpose. And it was like a wilderness, and they turned it into a garden as they labored. You probably remember in the time of Roosevelt, when everything was in such a terrible mess, how that the WPA and the different things were set up, and when men didn't have any work, he just let them go out and begin to build parks and different things around the nation. Never before did they have them through Georgia and the other places, but when this came, it was typical of a Canaan land coming in, and there's much that could be said about it. But just speaking sporadically, that is the essence of it. Well, in coming this far in a circle, this is the reason why that we've not had any more attendance than we have in the outsiders coming into this meeting. Because when the children of Israel moved, they moved individually. They did not have any other nation moving with them. It was just their group. It wasn't a massive move of people or nations. It was just the individual group of Israel. And you know that back around Monroe, we spoke of that having to do with Canaan land and Israel coming in at this time. How many of you know that? Now, I know there's a lot of questions arise in your mind when I say that. A lot of skepticism gets in the minds of those that are smart and intelligent, and not being a fool for Christ, they run over it and they don't get it. And I don't have time to go in it and break it down. So the smart and intelligent will just have to lose it. But you that are fools for Christ, that's believed what I told you, that's followed after it, this is the essence of it. In other words, you know how that I told you that had to do with Canaan land and what it was to be at this particular hour and particular moment, and how that God would use you in a typical thing as the head of the nations. And moving from state to state, you know that states are from town to town, rather, you know that towns are sovereign in the sense they've got their own mayors. And we've moved around in a little symbolism of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And they wandered until all of the elders was dead. That is, until all the smart, intelligent Bible scholars, all of them that thought they knew what was going to happen and had it all classified and cataloged according to their intellectual abilities, God let them wander till all of them was dead. And then when all of them was dead, God picked up the children and took them into Canaan land. Is that right? So then God is doing the very same thing again. He's letting it happen. We're wandering to and fro for this purpose, that God might establish a symbolic thing here at the very end time. Now, I just love to go into that and just go on and on and on with that. But the thing is, just to bring a brief thought here, we are down near the Florida line. We're not very far away. I guess probably 15, 30 miles or something. Not very far. How far, John? About 20 miles out of Florida. All right, now this would go back into a lot of things. We could speak of Hialeah, we could speak of Tallahassee, speak of St. George Island, and speak of a number of places in Florida that this would have to do with. But the thing I want to impress on your mind is this, that when Brother John came to set these meetings up, he went down as far as Twin City. Now, he had just come out of Tucson, which goes back to the Twins again, and he went down as far as Twin City. When he got down to Twin City, he was within 3 miles of the Florida line. And for some reason, the Lord constrained him, and he did not cross over into Florida. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but Florida is like a Canaan land to the rest of the states. It's a garden. It's a beautiful garden. And getting that close to it and yet turning around and not going in was a symbol of the Mosaic thing that God had established. Most of you know that John, in one pattern, in one side of his life, is typical of Moses. Faithful in all of his house, learned in all the ways of the Egyptians as a teacher, as a man of intellectual ability. And so then he got that far, and when he got down that far, then the Lord turned him around. Now, in the Old Testament, we're taught that Moses was ready and equipped with God to go into the Canaan land, but the children were not ready. And so then, inasmuch as they were not ready, the Bible said it went ill with Moses for the sake of the people, which was typical of Jesus. And so then when Brother John came down as far as Twin City, he didn't go in, but he turned around. Within 3 miles of it, he turned around and he set these meetings up in a circle. It's been a complete circle. Now, inasmuch as the children of Israel wandered in a circle until the elders died out, that he might bring the children into Canaan land. So then when Brother John got there, he turned and he went in a circle. Now, it is typical of the move of Brother Branham's followers, which has to do with the Jews, and how that they died in the wilderness. Now, I can't go into it because You wouldn't have enough patience to sit here. Some of you would get to yawning and shifting and oh me and oh all kind of things. And the first night I'd be right out in the middle of what it's trying to say. So I just have to scrap together a few things, you know, and try to tell you as best I can. Now, but anyway, Brother John wandering in a circle with the setting up of the meetings, it has to do with Brother Branham's followers that got the message from Brother Branham but not having the anointing of the Word, turned it into an intellectual letter, rejected the leadership of Moses, which was the ministry, and mumble and grumble until they died in their intellectual wilderness of wandering around up here, trying to reason and trying to figure it out, rather than being a fool for Christ, trying to be smart and trying to be intelligent and acting as though they knew something when the Bible said they didn't know something they ought to know. So then they wandered around. Now, Brother Branham's followers was typical of the church world. It was typical of the denominational powers that come into the intellectual side of the things of God and got an intellectual view from seminary and from all the teachings that are brought about by the indoctrination of a letter. Now, they are typical of these people that have been intellectual and have tried to establish something in God by a denominational means, by ecclesiastical powers. Brother Branham's people are typical of them. And so then, Brother Branham's people going out had to do with those people perishing in the wandering of the wilderness, never able to go into the Canaan land because they could never get over the Jordan of their own carnal mind. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. Now I'm speaking in a physical term here or a physical dimension. They could never get over the Jordan of carnality. Never get away from the lust and the passions and the desires, the appetites of the flesh. And as a consequence of that, they kept looking back into Egypt, though they'd been delivered out of the world. Yet in coming out of the world, they had gotten into a religious cycle, which was a denominational wilderness, and never did contend for the faith that would translate them or bring them into the mind of Christ, which was the Canaan land of God, entering into His rest, the Bible calls it. So inasmuch as they did not do this, then God has given a typical thing to show us what has happened, we that are able to see. Now the Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus upbraided them one time by saying, you have eyes to see and you see not. Not having eyes of understanding, not being able to see out yonder, you know, into the future things of God. And so then they're just very carnal. Just all they do is think their own thoughts. And the Bible said God will feed them their own thoughts. They think their own thoughts and they desire their own ways. And it's just a typical thing. In that even Brother John having his son-in-law to come over here at this time, there's such a great outstanding thing in it. And Brother John having his son-in-law to come over, Brother Albert, at this particular time goes back to out of Egypt, I've called my son. But see, he's a son by law. And the son that was in the wilderness was under the law and was typical of the law, or the son that was in the wilderness, and he called him out, the son of the wilderness. The church in the wilderness, as it is referred to, and there's a lot we could say about that. But anyway, Brother Albert coming over, this is typical at this time. Now, if you notice, at the very time that he came over from the areas of Tennessee or Mississippi, which we had spoke of in the past, being symbolic of the wilderness, then at the very same time, Brother Charles Dennis and Brother Ed and his people came over here, which was also typical of the Jews coming in at this time, which is the son by law. All right, now, if you'll notice that in the wandering of this, there is a denominational circle, God is showing by this little group of people exactly what has taken place in the past ages, and taking a little group of people and giving a typical meaning that we might be educated accordingly, that we might understand, and by this little group of people indicting the entire church world with the death of Jesus and bringing about the judgment of God on them. I know that you don't believe that. Some of you, I know you can't see it, but it's so anyhow. When I come here to tell you, I don't come here to try to get you to believe it, because I know some of you never going to believe it. You're too skeptical. But some of you believe it, and some of you are going to live by it because you know it's absolutely the truth. All right, now, Jesus said, I know who you are of my sheep, and you'll hear my voice. But the voice of God will speak to his sheep. For it's not me that speak, it's God that speak when the mind of the Lord begins to edify the people. Alright, now, looking at this, we've come down as far as Bainbridge. The next stop that we have is over at Valdosta, or we're headed in that direction. Valdosta is the place that has been noted through the years for building tents for this great move of evangelism that sprang up from the William Branham meeting that got out through the voice of healing. Branched out into many men like Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne and a number of others. See, most of those tents have come from the areas of Valdosta because they are noted people that build excellent tents. Well, the wandering of the church in the wilderness was intense. How many of you know that? Always been a Pentecostal tent revival. And of course, it just take all night long to really get into what we're trying to say here. So I just have to scatter about and pick up a thought or two here and trust the Spirit of God to fill it in your mind. But if you'll notice that the move has been intense. All right, now we're coming down to the place where these tents are. The man that made the tents for the move that came from Brother Branham's ministry, that man is dead. The father of that is gone, and his son is there in his stead. The tent that I gave Brother Delmer is the tent that his son made. So there's a world of difference in the thing that's taking place in the making of the tents now and the tent then. Now, in the wandering of the cycle, the reason the people have not come out is because those people are typical of those that rejected the Word of God in the days of the wandering of the children of Israel. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, wasn't the children of Israel lost? No. 144,000 of those people are predestined to be the virgin church of Revelation that's lifted up there as virgins. So then God will pick out of all of those tribes some. And so then every denomination, it's been typical of the different tribes of the wandering. God has a few here and a few there, but someday he'll take out and he'll compact them together to make up the move of God. And that's exactly what you are symbolic of, is the group of people that he will pull together. Two or three comes over yonder, and two or three over here, and two or three in another place. And if you notice that every one of the meetings has been in a body, soul, and spirit, or death, burial, and resurrection. It's been 3 nights. Is the way that we've been going. And it's been a real typical thing, real symbolic, for those that desire to understand and those that want to be like God. Now, I get real discouraged. A lot of times I come to tell you, I spend all day long many times with God and very glad to spend it with Him because it's a thrill of my life. But I come here to spend 30, 40 minutes with you. And some of you are such babies in the Lord, but you don't even have any desire to grow in the grace of God, any concentration, any determination, any perseverance, or anything toward the kingdom of God. And I get disgusted. I'd rather not say anything. But for you, for the sake of you that do come, that do hunger, that do thirst, and I can assure you one thing, coming to church and hearing the preacher is not sufficient. But coming to church with a thirst and with a hunger and a perseverance and willing to listen is the only thing that's going to bring you the revelation of what God's doing in this hour. Now, so then in the wandering of this cycle, we've almost come to a termination of it in the sense that it was a tent. And we're coming down to the area where the tent is made. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not, but at this point, it is typical that the elders have died out. I think you know that because Brother Walden has typified the elders that was in the wilderness and in the circle of this area. It has mostly been his territory. And you can see that they've not responded. Now, he's just typical of it. But if you'll notice that at this point where we come to the poet, where we come to the place of the crossing over, which is the bridge that breaks open here in Bainbridge. When we come to this point that we are at a youth center here, which is typical that the elders have died and only the children have prevailed to go into Canaan. That's why the Lord has allowed us to be here at a youth center. Show what is about to come about. Now, in these things, in the wandering of the cycle of this great revelational thing that God's doing, the Lord is trying His best to get us to group together to where He can make us in one mind and one accord. As I said, Brother John went down, right down to the very point of 3 miles within the boundary lines of Florida. How many of you remember now that Brother John came out of Tucson, Arizona? Let me just see if we can elaborate a little bit on it. I had something that I wanted to bring to you tonight, and I don't see how I can bring it to you and bring this to you too. And so then, if I can be allowed to, I'd like to read just a verse or two of Scripture, and then try, if I can, to share with you what is about to happen, or what is happening. Now, I'm going to read from a Scripture that I know I won't get to teach from tonight. That is, unless the anointing moves in a different way. But I want to read from it because maybe tomorrow night I will. I'd like to bring out some specifics on it. Now, this is a very fitting passage of Scripture in that we've come down to the ocean. John said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw beasts rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." All right, now, I'm going to try to talk with you tonight concerning what is taking place. And then, if you will allow me to, maybe tomorrow night I can get into something concerning the beast and try to explain some things. There's one thing that I know, that this is the most fascinating thing that has ever took place in the history of the world. There has never been anything so fascinating as the thing that is taking place now. And the reason for the great fascination of it is because what is taking place is being revelated as it takes place. I don't know of any time in the history of the prophets, of the law, of the preachers, of the denominational powers, even in the day of Brother Branham, I don't know of any day that's ever been like the day that we're living in, where everything has begun to revelate itself to where you can tell where you're going, what you're doing, who you are, and what you're put here for. Never before have we had anything like that. But all of a sudden, God is raising up a people that is a super people, Brother Ed. Hitler sought to raise up a super generation. But God really is raising up a super generation. And so then, in this that we're privileged to take part in, God uses a little group of people. Now, you've seen back at Monroe how that things have precisely fallen in place, and there, just as I told you that they would fall in place, and hundreds of tapes are back there as a testimony to what we said would come to pass. Those things are there, and we spoke of them coming to pass, and they have come to pass. Now, to take up where we was a little bit ago, here we are, we've made a circle. We've come down as far as Valdosta. Well, that is to say, we're not very far away from it at this point. Brother John had just come out of Tucson, Arizona. All right, now, let's backtrack a little bit and see if we can pick up a place to where we can tell where we're going. Now, if we go back over to Olive Branch, that's a good place to start, because that's where Brother Albert just come from. Going back to Olive Branch, and I want you to try to stay with me now, as I tell you these few things, don't get frustrated. If I say something here and jump 10 miles over here to pick up something else, don't get frustrated and think you've gone insane and I've gone insane. Just sit steady in the boat. Don't kick a lick in it. We'll get back over in a minute. We'll fit it all together and you'll see it's all right. All right, now, from the going back to Olive Branch, we speak of Brother Albert coming in at this time. Is that right? God is a spirit. How many of you understand that? John 4:24. God is a spirit. Paul said, I serve that spirit with my spirit. And the Bible calls him the invisible God. It calls him the spirit of holiness. And the Bible speaks to the prophets of old that they endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so then on our pilgrimage, on our journey, in what we're doing, everything that Betty and I have done down through the years, our endurance, our perseverance, the way that it came about was enduring as having faith in God, in seeing him who is invisible, going by our side and walking with us and leading us and directing us in all things. That's the way that we endured. So the endured is seeing him who is invisible. Now, he who is invisible is here tonight. If I say anything good to you, it will be him that is invisible that is spoken to you. If our hearts open up, if our minds open up, whereas the Bible said that as they were on their way to Emmaus, that the Lord appeared in their midst, he opened up their understanding, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? It is a true fact that if Brother John and I come together in one mind and one accord, that if any two of us agree as touching any one thing, that God will do it. And God will be in the midst of us if we give it his name. Is that right? So then we come here together tonight in his name, that he who is invisible might appear within our midst and talk to us. Or that is to say, the Spirit of God might, by means of our intellectual understanding, our human vocabulary expression, that God might speak through it and explain to us what is happening. He has to speak to me the same as he does you. All right, now, starting from the point of the world, looking at it in that way, the Lord has called us from the world. When we knew nothing of God, when we was out in the world, out in the land of Egypt, of garlic and onions, appetites and desires, God sent forth the ministry. I'm going to try to type the things out as much as I can to where you can understand it. Taking the group that Brother William Branham had, Brother Branham was raised up as a great prophet, a Baptist, like John the Baptist, forerunning that which was to come, even the baptizing over at the end of Spring Street, where Brother J.T. said he saw the vision of us coming in when everything was asleep, and then something new came, a revival. Going back to where this thing was to be introduced, over on a place called Utica Pike, right at the end of Spring Street, where the pillar of fire appeared to Brother Branham. Now, how many remember the lost and found that went through, got some of it on tape? Going back to Brother Branham, God raised him up, sent him out into the world when the world knew nothing about religion, so to speak. Now, I know that the world in general has always been religious from the time of Cain. But I mean, as far as our generation, in that the law and the prophets had died out, the church had fallen into the dark age, as far as our generation knowing a real move of God, they didn't know it till Brother Branham came on the scene. I believe you'll acknowledge that. Now, Brother Branham did not start the move of God, nor did Wesley start the move of God, nor did Finney start the move of God. But a man by the name of George Whitefield started the move of God. You can go back and check it out. He started the move of God. It was not Wesley. It was not Luther. But history shows that it was Whitefield that started it. And following this move of God, then came forth men like Wesley, and then came Charles G. Finney, and then came the following successors are those that were following in line, like Dwight L. Moody and others that helped to bring the great revival, which brought it on down to Brother Branham's day. Maybe about 1730, 39, long in there, God began to move. Now, Luther, as most of you know, but Luther's time dates way back over to about 17 and 15 when he went over and nailed the thesis on the Gettysburg Church door at Germany and defied the Council of Worms, starting what we call the Reformation. Most of you are familiar with that are Bible scholars, and some have heard it taught. Starting in at that time, that was coming out of the Dark Age and moving over into the Protestant era. Many things took place. But God, in the end time, has to close it out with a typical thing, just the way that he opened it up. Now, I made a statement that God brought a white Luther on the scene to start the Reformation. Is that right? And then I said that that represented the age of light, which is always God's spiritual Jew. And then I said that at the closing of the age, God brought a black man by the name of Luther to close it out, to show that the darkness was coming in on the people, whereas he said gross darkness would cover the people, and the black man, being typical of the Jew in our dispensation, is always God's clock in the night. How many of you understand that? Now, though the darkness was to cover the people, yet in the evening time there was to be great light. Is that right? There is no greater light than that which the Jew can afford in coming in to bring the great move of God. But it's done in the dark night of the Antichrist move, whereas the church is already closed out and already gone. Now, typically speaking, the church is sealed in. They're lukewarm, have need of nothing. Is that right? Typically speaking, they're sealed in. They'll tell you that they're they won't tell you they're lukewarm, but they'll tell you that they have need of nothing, that everything is well with them. So typically, they're sealed in. That means that if they're typically sealed in, then the regime of the black man is at hand, which, as I said, is the coming in of the Jews, which will rise up and raise up in Palestine or begin to build back the temple. How many of you remember me speaking of building back the temple? Antichrist showing himself in the covenant, whereas the covenant will be made for 7 years, that is the duration of a tribulation period, and be broke in the middle of the week, whereas the man-child is caught up in the middle of the week, that is to say, at the breaking of the covenant. Is that right? All right, now, seeing the things come to pass the way that we see them, God chose a black man to close out the age. Now, we are not very far. We are not very far from where the angel of God appeared to me. When the angel of the Lord, when I say that, I mean Florida. Now, when the angel of the Lord appeared to me, I told you that I saw two caskets. I saw a white casket. I saw a black casket. I was made to understand, and I went to Brother J.T. Parnell, who at that time was pastoring in Hialeah. And I told J.T. about the white casket. I said, Brother J.T., God showed me that Brother Branham is fixing to go off the scene. That was in the early part of 65, and the latter part of 65, Brother Branham went off the scene. I also spoke of the time he would die, and you know the connections with it. Now, I didn't understand the black casket, but the Lord made me to understand later that when what I perceived was that it was Martin Luther King. For it wasn't very long after the decease of Brother Branham that Martin Luther King also went off the scene. All right, there was two great leaders, predominant leaders. There was the master leader, you might say, in the religious perspective among the white people, which was Brother Branham. There was the major religious leader that you might speak of as Martin Luther King among the Negro people. Is that right? All right, now, among the Caucasian and Negro, two great leaders had risen up. Two great leaders had been killed. Now, if I could bring this out to you tonight to show you something, I believe you'll understand where we're living tonight. God made both the white man and the black man for a specific purpose. He made the yellow man and the red man for a specific purpose. And the only way God could bring about the master plan that he had or was going to bring about in Christ was to have people of different nationality and people of different colors. That was the only way he could do it. And so then he made it that way, that we might get our spiritual education. Now, one race is not above another race. Everybody ought to understand that much. That God has never magnified one race above another race as far as being respect a person. He hath magnified one race above another race as far as different dispensations or time, where time elements are involved. God, according to the succession of history, has magnified one race above another for a period of time, that he might establish the understanding and the typical things that he wanted us to know. That's the only way he could educate us. But you'll find out that in every age where God did this, that at a later time, he would take the underprivileged and then magnify them and put the others down. Is that right? Now, isn't it true that God magnified the Jews above every nation and caused them to be supreme ruler? Solomon ruled, even the islands had to come under his rule. But when God had fulfilled that to show that he was no respect of person, for Paul said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, which is a spiritual Jew. When God got through, he took those same Jews, put them in Babylon for 70 years, and raised up the heathen tribes over there, because that was still his people. You'll check it out, you'll find Nebuchadnezzar, he called them his servants, and my servant, Nebuchadnezzar. So then God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, it is no wonder that the world is fighting and in a great conflict because they don't understand. Satan has got them blinded, and they're fighting with each other, and they're at each other's throat, and they're going to continue to do that until the great supremacy of the mastermind of Antichrist comes on the scene. And then when he does, he'll group them all together, and they'll quit their fighting. They'll all receive an equality. Every one of them will come under the regime of the beast, receive the mark of the beast. Everybody will, and everything will function right. But in the meantime, God says, fear not, little flock. For God is going to constitute a body of every type of a person, every type of believer, as far as religious backgrounds, and bring them into one faith that's called the faith of Jesus Christ. Is that right? I dare say here tonight, we probably got Catholic, probably got Methodist, Church of Christ, Pentecostal, all kinds. It looks like this minister's been a constitution of that. Brother John was Baptist in his past. All right, now, let's look at it a little farther. Seeing that God has called the people out of Egypt by a great religious move in this hour, in every age, beginning with Adam, from the time of the garden, God has let it go through cycles, always through cycles, falling into the wilderness, coming into Canaan. Egypt, wilderness, Canaan, always. Canaan land, Babylon, coming back up to build the walls. Is that right? Going back, falling back into the dark age, established the church. Pentecost came, fell into the dark age, come back up to build the walls. Always that way, over and over and over. It's the same thing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, it follows a perfect pattern. A perfect pattern. Notice this, that in the cycle that we're in, Brother Branham, having been raised up, caught the people's attention, pulled them out of the world, which we say is Egypt, brought them into a religious realm. But immediately, what they did, they formed a denominational group of people. And they split up like splinters. Is that right? The revival apparently broke back over around Missouri, way back, about 1900, long in there, broke at the gateway of the West at the very same place that we spoke of this one getting its start. But when it broke, the first thing it had to do was just like Pentecost. When Pentecost broke, the first thing it did, it went into the dark age. Now, the first thing it had to do was move to Azusa Street And then in Azusa Street, it had to go into the veil of the black man. Is that right? All right. Now, life in the white man is exactly as it is in the black man. The same blood that goes through your veins goes to the black man. There's no difference. The Bible said God has made all nations of one blood. We have one blood. We have one life. But on the outside, our appearance is different. One is white, one is black. And yet, the black men not really black, but that's what they call themselves, the black men. All right, now, we see a difference. We see life in the veil when we see the black man. We see life considered out of the veil when we see the white man. Is that right? But remember, it is only a type and a shadow. Because life in the black man or life in the white man is still inside of the veil of carnality and the fleshly body that is typical of the beast and the fall from the garden. So all the colors have to do with is just typical, just types and shadows, so that we can be educated to understand what God is doing and what God has intended for the inheritance of the saints. All right, now, seeing that we're pulled out of Egypt, coming into a religious perspective of life. So then, at Azusa Street, it got into the veil. The reason God did that was because the black man, being typical of the Jew, it had to go into a denominational cycle for about 70 years. Is that right? All right, the black man is typical of the Jew. So if he started the revival, then it indicated that he was to typify the Jew that was to be in bondage from that period of time. Is that right? Now, how many of you know that the black man really does typify the Jew? I brought it out, Father Abraham, that's to the Jew, and Father Abraham that brought the deliverance of the black man. Is that right? See, it's all one and the same. The only difference is, when you think of the Jew, you think of a universal perspective of it, all the way from the garden over to the consummation of the world. When you think of the black man, you think of him as in the third dimensional cycle, which is the Protestant era, as being typical. So then what you have to do to the entirety of it, beginning from the garden to the consummation or to the rapture, that's what you have to do, perspectively speaking, to the third dimension in getting your types and shadows. That is, if you break the universal part of it down, 1, 2, 3, then you've got to take the third dimension of it and break it down, 1, 2, 3. Now you say, how can that be? Well, it's very simple. I mean, you understand that if you go back there, just to give you some idea so you can get a formulated understanding here, you go back there, you know that they were in Egypt, that's one perspective of it. You know that they were in the wilderness, that's the second perspective of it. You know that then they came out of the wilderness, they went into Canaan, that's the third perspective of it. Now that's the law part of it, is that right? That's the Father's move of it. That's what we refer to as the water witness, the water world. And yet I'd have to go through some more to break it down to where you'd understand it, but so it won't confuse you, just to give you this much. All right, now the second dimension of it, if we come over to Calvary, now we have to start breaking it down three times again because we've come into a physical dimension, which is a blood dimension or human anatomy dimension. Is that right? So then when we come into that, we get out of Father, the Father's era, and we get into sonship. So then coming into sonship is the church ages, because it's the Son that has the kingdom of God within him, and it is the Son that is considered the fullness of the Father, which is the Spirit. So then he is the body or the temple, which is called the church. Is that right? So the perspective of it coming from Calvary, reaching in the church ages, or that is rainbowing over the church ages, we find a three-dimensional thing too in that. For we have in the beginning, if we run from the time of Jesus' death, we'll say about 33 A.D., running over to about 312, then we get over to that age, we see a change take place. So when we move over to 312, over to 606, we see a great change. Is that right? How many understand what I'm saying? All right, from 606, moving over to 1520. We have another dark period. Is that right? So then we come out of Egypt. We go back into the wilderness. When we go back into the wilderness, it stays in there till Martin Luther comes on the scene. Is that right? So then, when the great move of Reformation, which comes from Luther, when he comes on the scene, then we see another era coming in, which makes us to have the Canaan land experience. Is that right? America is the Canaan land. It moved over into the Protestant age of it. Is that right? All right, now, but when we get into the Protestant age, we've got to break it down three times again, because we've come to the angelic perspective of it, if we come to the spirit age. Is that right? Now, in breaking it down in the third dimension into its proper perspective, we say that they landed the pilgrims. Now, in all of this, we're speaking of a natural, historical pilgrimage of mankind. Because when we get through with this, we have to reverse the whole thing to get the spiritual. So then, coming into the third dimension, we break it down 1, 2, 3. The best way to break it down is to look back into the eastern part of this great United States. In the eastern part, let the eastern part extend from the great Atlantic over to what we refer to as Jordan, the father of great waters, the Mississippi River. When you get to the Mississippi, then take an extension from the Mississippi, let it extend across the vast desert, all the way over to the across Arkansas and those areas, over to the Rocky Mountains, the Great Divide, the Great Rocky Mountains. Now, from the Rocky Mountains, let it extend over to the Pacific Ocean. You remember the one that Balboa discovered when it was peacefully named it Pacific. All right, now, speaking historically. All right, now, looking at this, we've got every dimension broke down into three parts. Is that right? Now, the dimension that we're interested in majorly is this dimension that we live in. Is that right? So then the other dimensions, we don't want to discredit them or put them aside, because it's by the formulated pattern of the first and the second that we arrive at the third, which is the spiritual, the angelic, or the invisible, the unknown part. Is that right? And Brother John, he's a mathematician. He knows what I'm speaking of. It takes the first two to bring out that which is the unknown, and the last one is the angelic or spiritual age, and you cannot see it. You have to bring it in from a spiritualizing. All right, now, how many of you want to go on now and say a little more about it? All right. Now, in coming into the third dimensional type, here we come into it. Well, you might say, Brother Pike, what makes you believe that this last dimension is broke down into three parts in those specific areas that you speak of? Well, let's look at them a little bit and see. You know that the Mississippi is one of the most outstanding rivers in all of the nations. Is that right? Or the United States. Is that right? It's a great, outstanding place, a place of death, place where the Indians fought. It's a symbolic thing of death. There's no way to get across it until later years in some way was developed. All right, it's a great outstanding place. It is typical of Jordan. But remember, if we're moving from the eastern world to the western world, then we are moving according to our female perspective. And I want you to get that. You say, well, I think that would be a male perspective. No, the male perspective was in the garden when Adam was the head of things. But from the fall of the garden, then it started the female perspective. You say, where do you get that? Because the body is considered the female part. And that's the intellectual pilgrim, the indoctrination of Eve, which was the intellectual letter showing that God had set up, or allowed to be set up, an entire antichrist system. Now, God is the God of this world. When I say that, I mean the Bible says the earth is His, the fullness thereof is His. But Satan is the God of this world when it comes to the Antichrist system of it. Everything, government, everything in this world is an Antichrist system. Is that right? Though God created the world, yet when the Bible refers to the world, it's referring to the Antichrist system or the intellectual perspective of what is taking place. Is that right? All right, now, I say these things to where we can found them up here and get some kind of foundation, formation in our mind to get a formulated thought pattern to where when I say things that you can pull it right down on it, and you won't be elusive to you. Is that all right? takes a little time to do that. Right now, let's look at it for just a minute. Why do I say that that's the way it is? First of all, how many of you understand that the Rocky Mountains, which is the Great Divide, is the biggest Indian reservation in the United States? It's called the Red Man. How many of you know that God refers to people as waters? Is that right? The beast come up out of the waters, said it was the nation's people. All right, now if you say red waters, then what do? You go back to the Red Sea. Is that right? All right, now if you say Jordan, then we bring Jordan back to the place of the Mississippi River. Is that right? Now, that is in the reverse. Are you listening? That's after that we get to California in completing the natural pilgrimage, historically speaking. And we turn around and we start back. It's a spiritual unveiling of a religious move. That's why it broke out at Azusa Street. You had to come back, strip the whole thing down. The corn had grown up in the calm, and all of everything growed out, and you get over here, you start shucking it down, start moving back in this direction. You understand what I'm saying? All right, in the natural, historical pilgrimage part of it, we move all the way, coming from the garden, all the way across the entirety of what God's doing, from the garden experience all the way over the complete span of time, coming on over, down through the history, down through the past days gone by, all the way down to where we're at now. Is that right? Amen. Now, we do that in a geographical manner, according to geography. Is that right? So then we move, historically speaking, and you know the word history is just what it says, history, his story. One tells a story, another, and they tie it together, and they call it history or his story. But I'm talking about God's story tonight, what he had to say about it. So coming on down, we come down, historically speaking, in a geographical manner. So we're moving according to the pilgrimage, the tutoring of our children that are going to school, college, to learn about this historical pilgrimage. God has suffered that because if you don't understand the natural part of it, Jesus said, if I spoke to you about that and you don't understand it, how will you understand if I speak to you about spiritual things? If you don't have an intellectual indoctrination for a formulated understanding, you never know what God was saying spiritually. Is that right? So then, moving in the pattern, in the cycle, coming on down, first we cross over, in the third dimension that is, we cross over the Mississippi River. Now, going in that direction, the Mississippi is considered the Red Sea. Are you following me? A lot of bloodshed on it. Continual bloodshed. Is that right? Getting over that, going on out to the Great Divide, that is considered the Jordan in the historical pilgrimage. You say, why would that be considered the Jordan? Because the Indians attacked the white man and it became a death. Getting over Jordan, the hardest thing they had to do was get past them Indians. There's so many tribes of them. You remember how Custer was massacred by them? And so many tribes of them, they couldn't get out there to the west coast. And it became a Jordan to them. But coming back, it's altogether different. All right, now, there is so much that I could say. I could write a book just about the first part of it. But I just broke it down sporadically, moving here and there a little bit at a time to try to give you some thoughts. Now, how many of you understood that much of what I'm saying? All right, now, I'd like to get just a little sip of water and then reverse it. How many of you are willing to do that? See, it had to be that way. In the historical pilgrimage, what we've done, we've come down through the evolving of time, you might say. Now then, coming to this point, when the revival broke out for the latter times in this third dimension, and that's what we're trying to deal with, from California, it had to return. Now remember, it had to go Egypt, wilderness, Canaan land. It had to go Pentecost, Dark Age, the Reformation. Is that right? All right, now, a telescopic view of it, pulling one out of another. I pull the spirit out of the soul. Then I pull the soul out of the body. And I separate it into three great, massive parts. Is that right? three great massive pots. You understand? Now, I want you to stay with me now. When I get through with what I'm saying tonight, I might have got just one tiny seed out of the sunflower, because it's such a great, massive thing in abundance of revelation. But this will be at least a taste to let you know that it's good. All right, now, in moving, as I said, in moving in the great dimensional cycle, I get a telescopic view. God has, through the crucifixion of Christ, given us a symbolic thing. If I say that the Jews are the body all the way down to Calvary, and then the Lord took out the soul, and I say the soul is all the way through the dark age, and then God took out the spirit to make this part over here in the Protestant age, then you'd know what I was speaking of. Is that right? Now, if I tried to break it down a little closer, I'm afraid that I'll confuse you. There's so much I need to say in there to break it down, but I'm afraid I'll get you off on a limb out here and you'll forget about the trunk of the tree. All right, now, looking at it one more time, and try to stay with me, from the garden over to Noah is 2,000 years. Is that right? That is the water world. From the flood over to Calvary, we got another 2,000 years. That is a blood age. How many of you know that that's all he done is offer up blood, sacrifice? Is that right? Remember, here's something we need to remember, that the water age does not start with water. It ends with water. Now, it starts with water in the sense that they lived off of water. It was fruit. But it ends with the great deluge, which is the water witness, a symbolism of baptizing the earth by cleansing, which is the baptism of the body, in that we wash the body. Is that right? Yes. The second part is the blood age, whereas that is typical of the soul. And that's where the trouble is. And I wish we just could go into that. But in the soul realm, it is typical, and what does it do? It starts with a beast sacrifice. It ends with a typical beast sacrifice where Jesus is made likened to sin, the beast. Is that right? A human sacrifice, the blood ends. Then the next move of it, we've got 2,000 more years, approximately to the coming of the Lord, because he worked 6 days. He rested on the seventh, and that is the millennium. Is that right? Then, in the last part of it, coming from Calvary over to the rapture, we suppose another 2,000 years. Is that right? That is the angelic part of it, the spiritual part of it, whereas God previewed it at Pentecost. That's the spiritual witness for the cleansing of the spirit, the blood for the cleansing of the soul. Is that right? And humanity is the soul rim of it. Is that right? That is the church part. All right, now, in the spiritual perspective, it signifies the cleansing of the heaven. The water, the cleansing of the earth. Is that right? But in the spiritual perspective, it is the cleansing of the heavens, the angelic part. Satan being cast out of heaven, because the church denotes that in the Protestant age. But in the in-between, which is humanity's place, the blood realm, that denotes the cleansing of humanity, of the human life. Is that right? That's considered a beast realm. How many of you know that? Are you staying with me now? I'm bringing these three things in to clarify what we'll have to say in the end part of it. All right, now, if you don't get it, now they might be making a tape tonight to where you get it. I don't know whether they are or not. But if they are, then you might go back and review it and pick up what is left. All right, now, coming over to the third dimensional cycle, we've run the course all the way around. Is that right? The Bible said all things is at an end. All things. I can't elaborate too much on the little branches running off, because if I do, I'll lose you. I know I'll lose some of you. I haven't tried it before. I just have to stay right with the main trunk of the tree. So then we see this great thing taking place. Now, it has moved, dimensionally speaking, all the way from the garden in a historical pilgrimage, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, till it's gotten over to the west coast. The dimensional look at it through the telescopic view. The spirit, the body, the soul coming out. Water, the body. Blood, the soul. Spirit, Protestant age. Is that right? Jew, Catholic, Protestant. I do that religiously. It's really Jew, Gentile, and the angelic perspective, which is referred to as the church. May that be in heaven, be as the angels. Is that right? That's the proper perspective. But so you can understand it, I say Jew, Catholic, Protestant. You understand the religious perspectives of it. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? I just try to drop in a few things along to where you can understand. I could say agricultural, political, religious. That would make you know. Out of the three, is that right? All right, now, let's say that we've completed our historical pilgrimage. Let's say that all of that is at last at an end. All of that, if you break it down right, will be typified from the garden to Calvary. And from Calvary over to the millennium will be the spiritual part. I know that'll get you confused, so just don't try to get into that part. I'm just expressing something to you. But we have completed a cycle, we'll say. We have completed the historical pilgrimage, and we've come all the way around to the end of it. Would any of you deny that we've come to the end? If we've come to the ocean, there's got to be a boat to take us over. So then we've come to the end of it. Now, if we've come to the end of it, then we've got to reverse it and start it back. Is that right? All right, let's say that the revival broke out at the gateway of the West because we've got the East and the Western world coming from the Eastern world over to America, the Western world. So the changeover. Then it moves to Azusa Street, being a religious move now, not a historical move, but a religious move. So then it goes into the Jewish part of it. The prophecy was that Israel would be down there for 70 years in Babylon. Is that right? And there's just a whole barrel full of revelation we could bring out right there. Coming down into Babylon, and we said that Babylon was the wilderness. If you want to make a comparison, I got a chart I drawed when the angel of God appeared to us. Daniel was working on it. You can get it at parallels, and it shows the wilderness paralleling with the dark age. It shows how that they run in a 1, 2, 3. I gave it to you 1, 2, 3 so that you could make the comparison in your mind with each section. Is that right? Amen. Take the old, compare it to the new. That's your formulated. Take your first and second, compare it together, and you'll come out with your spiritual. You can't do that tonight, I know, but later on as you think of it, and you think on it, you can. So then, if it went into a denominational thing to fulfill typically in the third dimension what happened in the first dimension. Now, it happened naturally in the first dimension. It happened physically in the second dimension. But it was to happen religiously or spiritually in the third dimension. Is that right? Yeah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So then, 70 years passing by. And tomorrow, if I get to go into the teachings of the beast in Daniel 70 weeks, you'll understand what I'm saying. 70 years passing by from the move of Azusa Street, I believe, if I make no mistake, Brother Charles tells me as a result of that, that there is the Church of God in Christ with approximately 6 million followers. It has been said that there were 6 million people that come out of Egypt. I know some say 600,000, they got different, but it's been said there's 6 million that come out. All right, now, I say that to say this, that again shows you that the black man is typical of the Jew, third dimensionally speaking, is that right? All right, now, Moses led them out. Is that right? Father Abraham was their father. The black man, Father Abraham. Who led them out? I said Luther was black Moses. Is that right? All right, they played him up as black Moses. He was killed over at the Mississippi River. Remember, we're coming back now. All right, if we're coming back, we're crossing the great divide in the first hurdle. Is that right? beyond the great divide is Egypt. I believe it can pretty well be said that California is a great Egypt. Even her own mayor made the statement out there that they have everything. Is that right? Brother, their governor made the statement that they have everything out there. Now, they've got mountains, they've got lakes, they got everything out there, you know, in California. So then, it's a great Egypt. Coming from Egypt, crossing the first hurdle, coming over to the great divide, we have to cross over the land of the red man. That's the Red Sea. How do you know that's Calvary? Dropping a few thoughts here, can't elaborate on them, but you're acquainted with some of them. All right, now, we've come over that. That is the first feast of the Jews, which is the Passover. Is that right? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. That's the first three feasts. 14, 15, 16. Is that right? The month Abib, April. All right. That is the first hurdle coming over. I'm doing this to show you how it parallels with the Jew. The first hurdle is to come over the Rocky Mountains, which is the great continental divide. So then, when you get over that, you get in a wilderness. Is that right? That is exactly what the Azusa Street meeting brought. That's what it brought. It brought a wilderness. And I believe that Brother Charles and Brother Ed will tell you after seeing that girl dance over there like he expressed to me, that they're sure in a wilderness. Not only in the wilderness, but won't let nobody tell them any different. Now, it brought about a great wilderness. Brother Branham coming in the very last bit of time was to illustrate or bring about by his life and that which would follow a typical pattern of all that had happened. You might have already made the statement that he was sent to tie things together, the loose ends. All right, now, in coming over, Brother Branham never had joined anything that I know of except the full gospel businessmen, which originated from Shakarian, which has great wealth in California. I know him personally. I've talked with him. Brother Branham joined the full gospel businessmen. Some of you know revelationally speaking why he did it, because we brought out some of the things on tape. Here, Brother Branham started a great move to show in the end time what had happened to that denominational thing that broke out back there in the 1900s. Are you listening now? Amen. 70 years. And I said by 1970 that the lights would be well on their way out. That was years ago I said that, because I saw the revelation of the 70 years in Babylon. Daniel was raised up at the latter part of the 70 years. Is that right? And I said that Brother Branham had to do with Daniel being down there with the children in Babylon. They was called the great or beloved man of God. He was a Baptist preacher. He was caught in the Babylonian system. He was teaching in the Trinity cycle. Is that right? Which we refer to as the veil, which the black man showed. All right, now, when it got into the denominational cycle, and I'm going to quit whenever I feel you get weary and you're loosening up, I'm going to stop. That's the way I feed you. God is going to stop anyway. As long as you're thirsty and hungry, He'll feed you. If you just stay with me, what we'll try to do is just get through a certain part and then I'll stop. All right, now, 70 years. 70 years pass by. We come over to 1970. Everything was gone. Everything was gone. You say, where do you get that? Because by 1970, the denominations had turned into a formalistic practice. Every religious thing that was good in them that God had there was gone. They were selling holy water and everything else. The evangelists out on the field selling everything from shoestrings to holy water. Now, why was that? Because Brother Branham being typical, coming through the voice of healing, I said that that tree sprang up as a family tree, went out into a religious thing, and that at the end of it, it had to die out. Is that right? All right, Brother Branham typifying what had taken place, that denominational tree, that veil, that Trinitarian thing. I said that that would completely go out, even to the intent that the voice of healing would just be changed about, everything would just change over, which they did. Gordon Lindsay died. 70 years that they wandered in a denominational circle. 70 years. But at the end of 70 years, the thing was to come to an end. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
70 years. You say, what pinpointed it, Brother Pye? Joseph Kennedy died about that time. How many of you know that? The man that had made the world drunk. Is that right? The one that had brought imported whiskey and yet was supposed to be one of the great religious men of our day. Catholic, the Babylonian system, but he died. That indicated the end, the drunkenness, that which was drunk off the cares of life had come to an end, a consummation. How many of you know that from the time that Brother Branham spoke of the revival being over in 56, which was down around Macon, according to what Brother John said here, which really had to do with this move, us going to Macon, Georgia to start this move. Where a thing dies, it has to be resurrected. Is that right? Brother Red had the vision where Brother Brown's casket come up out of the earth, which had to do with his followers before the skin worms got into the body.
Amen.
So then, the great religious cycle being ended, the revival being over, the Protestant age at an end in 56, because it was there that Kennedy came in, and I just wish we had time to go into that concerning the mark of the beast. But Kennedy came in 60. Is that right? The year of 60, he came in, because the revival was over. Protestant light had gone out. And at that time, he was to come in. Kennedy came in, and I said his administration would be identically the same as it was in the days going even way back to Abraham. You say, how do you get that? It was the same. Because Abraham was the man that brought the deliverance to the black man. When Kennedy came into office, he also helped the cause of the black man. Go back and check it out. It was identically the same. When they made the parallels of the administrations, how did it come out? 100 years apart, exactly. One Secretary Kennedy, the other Lincoln, and vice versa. Is that right? Because the mind of God showed it to be the same. All right, it indicated that all of the Protestant light was gone, that God was turning back to the Jew. At the same time that he turned back to the Jew, it showed the powers of Antichrist, which parallels the move of the Jew, which was Catholicism coming in. Is that right? Reverting back to the dark age. That's why that Oral Roberts, I predicted he'd fall away in his old age. He come out of Methodism, he's supposed to go back. See, holiness come out of Methodism, he goes back to Methodism. Methodism comes out, right out of Catholicism, he goes right back into Catholicism. You say, I don't believe it. Watch and see, it'll do it. So then, the extensive view of the telescopic thing that we saw, 1, 2, 3, it had reached its ultimate by going to the Pacific. Is that right? Over to the ocean. Then we start closing it up, because the Bible said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling the world, what will the receiving of the Jew be but the indication that the body was coming back to the soul and spirit, which would be the resurrection. So then, the telescopic view began to close up. That which had come out, the soul out of the body, the spirit out of the soul, to show the death of man's humanity before God, being in the earth from Calvary 2,000 years, 2 days, and the third day the body sees corruption. God was to put it back together, massively speaking, and take the Protestant, put it back into the Catholic and take the Catholic, let them make the covenant with Antichrist, put them back into the Jew. Is that right? The body, soul, and spirit to make the Jew the head of the nation. And it'll become a type. Antichrist will take over, convince the Jews, but he's that leader set down in the temple of God over there, and he'll take over the world. But at the same time, there is three parts of the spiritual perspective of God. The spirit moving back to the soul part, and the soul part back to the body part, like 30, 60, 100-fold. You follow me? God moving it all back into his own way, working all things after the counsel of his own will. Is that right? In the telescopic view, as it began to close up, Paul said, when you see this great confederation setting in, that it means that the end of the world is here. Is that right? When the great confederation comes, it always means trouble for God. Is that right? Show me any place where they ever confederated it didn't mean trouble for God. Didn't God have to separate them at the Tower of Babel? Because they confederated and said, we're going to make ourselves a name. Every time they've ever got together, it was that way. God come down that he might segregate, not according to color, but according to people, according to all kind of tribes throughout the earth. Some are white, some are black, some are yellow, some are red. All of them gets along good when they're out in their own territory. Is that right? God didn't segregate them because he respects a person or loves one better than the other. He made us our brother's keeper. Look how we depend on the Cubans over here for sugar. Every nation depends on one for something. God gave them something that the other doesn't have. Is that right? Amen. The children has got something the wife don't have. The wife's got something the husband don't have. Everybody. Is that right? Amen. God did that. But in the day of the integration is where all of the trouble comes. Now, you say, how do you get that? It was in the days of Roosevelt. When Roosevelt extended a hand of mercy, being typical of Solomon, to all of the nations of the world, and he started what we call the United Nations, the first move of confederation. When he did that, what happened? Every paganistic religion in the world came to the United States. Is that right? That was because that God was through with the world. You say, how do you prove that? Check up and see if Kennedy didn't use the same things that Roosevelt used. When Kennedy came into office, he said he was going to use the very same means and measures that Roosevelt did. He's going to do the very same thing. Is that right? Check it out and see. Same practices, same everything. Why? Because in Roosevelt's day, it was typical that everything was over. You follow me? So then, the substantiation of it was when Kennedy come in. Every paganistic religion come into the world through Roosevelt. Being a type of Christ, he drew everybody to him. Spiritually speaking, it was a beautiful type. Naturally speaking, it's the worst thing that ever happened to us. We've got every kind of confusion. We've become a modern Babylon. Nobody don't understand the law anymore. They don't understand each other anymore. It's just a big mess of confusion. Is that right? Modernistic Babylon coming in because of the great international integration. We've got a modern Babylon and can't do a thing about it except God's going to burn it up. That's all. God likes thoroughbreds. Is that right? God has never wanted to take one thing to make another thing out of. The devil always does that. Are you listening to me now? Satan is the author of confusion. God is a wonderful segregationalist that causes everything to reproduce after its kind. and makes it a great thoroughbred. Is that right? Everything that's thoroughbred, you can go get it registered. You can get papers on it because it's important. Is that right? You take a bulldog. I guess he's about the most ugliest thing that you can get. He just looks like somebody pushed his whole face in. But he's beautiful as a thoroughbred. That's right. I wouldn't mind having one of them myself. I used to have a boxer. In other words, what I'm saying is, everything is beautiful in its own perspective. You say, where do you get that? Because the Bible says that God has made all things beautiful in His time. Is that right? Everything is beautiful according to its perspective. It's supposed to be like that. But when you get it all mixed up, you've got diseases. You've got everything, every messy thing that can be. Now you say, well, why have we got all of the integration things that we've got going now, Brother Pike? Because people don't understand. They don't understand the mind of God. They're trying to do it in a natural way. And they just don't understand. It's caused a lot of trouble. It's caused murder. It's caused killing. It's caused diseases. One of the things that's caused it is because when Roosevelt allowed that, when our soldiers went over yonder and fought, they intermarried. We come up with half Japanese children, half German children, half Dutch children, every kind. Is that right? So then, when one took their outlook this way for their school programs or their social life, the other one went another way, then here was somebody left in between. It couldn't go either way. You understand? So then something had to be done. All right? Now there is a good part to it. When you come into intermingling naturally, you are playing right into the hands of the devil and will bring about a great Babylonian destruction. But the thing that it typifies is wonderful. Because the integrating means that every missing part of the body is coming together for the great move of God. Is that right? Now you say, how can this be? One way. It can never be done according to the intellectual reasonings of today. It will cause confusion. Man cannot come together on basis of government. If it does, it will wind up in an antichrist system where Satan will make a mess of confusion out of it and wreck the entire world. You see. But if the mind of Christ can be established in every race, every generation, every color, every creed, and every people, they will come together and be one of the most beautiful, one of the most harmonious, one of the most glorious things that ever happened in all the history of mankind. But it's got to be Christ. That's the only way that it will work. Now, I can stand here and tell you about it, explain it to you, but it takes Him to do it. It takes Him to do it. All right, now, let's look at it. It was to be wounded to death. And then the deadly wound was to recover. Is that right? And we could really go into something from there. But you know that Kennedy was a great religious head to that machine that come up. And you know he was killed. Is that right? All right. You can think on it from there till we have time maybe to bring it out. That's why that I say that Kennedy, at this point, at this very point, I say that Kennedy brought the ultimate of the Protestant age, because before that, we've never had a Catholic president in office. Never before. So when that come in, that meant that things had come to an end. Is that right? All right. From the time that Kennedy came in, if you'll check it out, and I can't go into it, I brought it out post-proportionally speaking on tape some places. From that time, we've got everything from dope addicts to striptease, hippies, fighting, wars, complex, fears, problems, a corrupt government, and everything from that time on. Now you say, can you trace it all back to that? I guarantee you can trace it every bit back to that. Go back beyond Kennedy, and you'll find out the thing was right. It was right. It started falling into the hands of the Babylonian system. And any time the Catholics take over, it's a Babylonian system. And when they take over, it's nothing but a mass of confusion.
Amen.
Is that right? Now, I'm going to have to cut off here and just bring out a few things on the last part. I can't get all this in like I wanted to because I've held you a long time already. 70 years. 70 long years of captivity. But the ultimate 70, when Joseph Kennedy, that made the world drunk, went out. From that period of time on, how long have we had? We're in 75, is that right? We're over here in the age of 75. Almost 7 years. Is that right? Martin Luther King went out. The black man lost his leader. Brother Branham went out. The white man lost his leader. Somebody said, well, we still got a leader up yonder. The black man might say, well, I still got a leader up yonder. You haven't got a leader. Martin Luther King had you at heart. He was willing to give his life for you. He had you at heart. Them people up yonder, they ain't got you at heart. They're looking for your pocketbook. They want to see how much they trouble and cause you and get a hold of your pocketbook. You just watch and see. Just like the thing with Billy Paul. Since Brother Branham's gone, I know Billy don't mean to do wrong, but the thing's got into a money thing. Just going from place to place, getting money. See, it's always a Babylonian captivity. Always going back to money, buying and selling. But the move of God wasn't to be like that. Is that right? Martin Luther King was thrown in jail and just treated any old way. Is that right? Half killed before he was ever killed. See, great frontiersmen, whether black, white, red, whatnot. We've got them from the Indians. We've got them from the Germans. We've got all kind of great historians and great men, heroes. Out of the Spanish people are great heroes. Always coming down through the ages. But you'll find out God was in those men's lives. But when you find these follow-ups, all of them is a money machine. So then the great leaders, they are gone. I saw their two, I believe that was their death that I saw. Now then, getting back to us, coming across the Red Sea, the Great Divide, notice this, if you don't believe that this denominational thing was in the wilderness, between the Rocky Mountains and between the Mississippi. Look at it. Where do you find Old Robert's headquarters? What do you think now? Where do you find Billy James Hargis' headquarters? Are you listening? Where do you find the Voice of Healing headquarters? Where do you find Brother Terrell's headquarters? Come on now, listen. Where do you find every great move in your denominational cycle? Where you find it? You go right back out there in the desert. Is that right? The formation right back out there. Why? Because that's the way that it had to work. Is that right? We've got one man that is found it, that's found it in a different place. That's Billy Graham. Is that right? You know what? Check it and you'll find out that the radio station he's got comes from over here at Black Mountain, which means the Voice of Darkness. Check it out. God's got a reason. Now, but here's the thing that I'm trying to get over. In this great denominational cycle, all of this was a denominational cycle. But it's at an end. Brother Branham typified the tree that come up. It went out with the Voice of Healing. And I said that Brother David Terrell would dovetail it on out. Is that right? I said Brother Terrell will pick up Brother Branham's ministry, and so he did, and said that he was the seventh angel. But I said when he come to Atlanta, Georgia, after Brother Charles and he went up there, I said he will come over to the Revelation. He stood up and told them, said, I've never had the Revelation before, but now I've got it. Is that right? Why? Because he was to bridge it over. Alright? See, it all died in the wilderness. Wasn't Kennedy killed out there? Frank, you remember when we come through Texas, we was killed? Isn't it true that Brother Branham was killed out there? Sunset Mountain, it went down. Isn't it true that Brother Branham's followers was picked up, brought them across the first hurdle? They got out there in the desert. right up there in the land of the Rockies and died out. Is that right? They set everything up in the desert, in a wilderness, and died out. Isn't that right? Why? Because the voice said, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. Is that right? It went down on Sunset Mountain. You can go out there and check it out. Right there, around in the Rockies, scattered all the way from California. Slap across the Great Divide. Is that right? Everything dying out. But we spoke of a time when they would come out of that. We said they'd move at a certain time. They did move back to Jeffersonville, Indiana. We said it would change over to the Joseph perspective of it, leaving Billy Paul, the bonds child of the type of the Baptist woman, moving over to Joseph with the Pentecostal wife. And there would be a difference altogether. And so there was. So then, the Billy Paul part of it, which was Brother Branham's followers, that typified the denominational side of it, had to die out. The message went into the heart of the earth, so to speak. It had to lay there until it died. And it certainly had died. The spirit without the body, the body's dead. Is that right? So when the body separated from the anointing and God pulled it away, the head of that thing, like the guillotine thing of John the Baptist, in that he was a forerunner of this, he died. When he died, the body died, which was the Jewish perspective in that Jesus was the head of it. John represented Jesus. Is that right? But the Christ perspective, which was when the seed fell into the ground and rotted, then it came open, it was to be the unveiled part of it, which was the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was to come out. That's why I said when they went back, the revelation would come in, and you know how that the William Branham book, the spoken word, changed over, started calling their book the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know exactly how they done it right on time, and we said it would happen. Everything else has happened right down the line, right on time. All of a sudden, Brother John Lane, after that we made that 6,000-mile tour, got down there where the spirit of Elijah come on us in the vision. There where the whirlybird was. There where they set the new tent, which has to do with going to Valdosta, in that's where the new tent came from. When they got down there, you remember how that God moved John one way, and then moved Brother Delma another way. They both went the same way, in that they went over to New Mexico, and then Brother John went down in Tucson, Arizona. Is that right? Look at A.A. Allen's place. Allen's place is out there in the desert. Is that right? Brother Brown's place is out there in the desert. Follow the road that goes down to Allen's place. You'll find it's Highway 66 going down there. Is that right? As a matter of fact, I think it's 666. Going down there to his place. Why? Because there was two people. There was twins out there. One of them indicated lying signs and wonders that would deceive the very elect if possible. It was A.A. Allen that rose up against William Branham in his early ministry because of a woman and published an article against him that was just almost unbelievable. But he went one way. Brother Branham went another way because it was to be those twins. Is that right? When Brother Branham died, A.A. Allen thought that that meant that God had vindicated what he had done. But we predicted Brother Allen's death as well as Brother Branham's. Is that right? And when Brother Allen went out, you can hear about Brother Branham and his ministry going on. But A.A. Allen, you hear nothing of him. It's gone out. They done changed over. Why? God commemorates the words and testimony of great men. Men that seek to do something for God. And for the kingdom, not those that get their pictures in magazines and papers and things like A.A. Allen did. He was in every magazine just about across the country. But God wasn't interested in that. God was interested in the heart of a man that loved his people, which was Brother Branham.
Hallelujah.
If Allen had confessed, made the right kind of confession, he'd have confessed that he come out of the voice of healing from the move of God where God raised up Brother Branham and never fought him like he did. Because that is true. All right, are you tired? You want to hear just a little more? All right. Coming on down, as we come into the denominational thing, Brother John Lane, coming from down at the Dale Rio, where we can't go into all that. You remember what we said about it? The dividing line. Coming down to the Dale Rio, picking up from there, moving to Arizona. Remember now, you Mexican people and your pay people over here in the United States. The difference now. All right, one represents the Jew. There's three perspectives of the Jew. There's a Spanish, there's a Negro, and then there's the Indian. How many of you know that? Body, soul, and spirit. How many of you ever heard me teach that? All right, so when I speak of either one of them, you know I'm still speaking about the Jew. All right, now, in the Spanish perspective, there was your Jewish side. Is that right? All right, when they sat down there, God calls Brother Delmer to make his change. Now, how many remember this? I made the statement. I said, Brother Terrell, dovetailing it out, the old going out, giving Brother Calvin Baldwin his tent. Is that right? The old tent. Brother Calvin had lent toward the women folk, which was a Trinitarian perspective of it. He believed in women preachers. Brother Delmer had done the very same thing, but Delmer began to pull out of it and go toward the Jewish perspective, the male perspective of it. All right, when Brother Terrell was numbered, or that is being numbered, with the Trinitarian part, it caused him to represent that which was old, ready to be folded up and laid away, and he gave Brother Calvin his old tent. Brother Calvin, by doing that, represented Brother Terrell, who in return represented Brother Branham, who in return represented John the Baptist, the forerunner of the coming child. So, Calvin, like John, baptized Delmer, like Jesus, which is his cousin. Is that right? So then, the changeover was, I gave Delmer the brand new tent. Because God said to me, the old ready to be folded up, laid away, this is God's new business. I had never used that tent. Not one time had I used it. It come from down here. Delmer had it. It had lightweight poles. It was symbolic of the rapture and what were the things that we spoke of. Special poles. It's about $10,000 tent or more. All right, now, you see, the dividing part of it was that Delmer was holding with Brother Terrell. Delmer didn't have me fooled. He's a good boy, but he didn't have me fooled about it. When I gave him the tent, I knew that he was hard on Brother Terrell's tent. He was a Brother Terrell man, right straight up and down. The only reason he pulled away is because Brother Terrell had spoke something about him being cut off, and it shook him up so much he got upset. But he still was falling after Brother Terrell's ministry. He wanted that same kind of ministry. Still bothers him now. All right, now, Brother Calvin, being numbered with Brother Terrell, Brother Delmer being numbered with this side of it. Are you following me? Brother Delmer was holding to that side of it until he got to Dale Rio. And that was where the spirit of Elisha came back, which indicated that Brother Terrell had at last finished that concerning Brother Branham. And the changeover was to come. And the change was to be not old Mexico, for there's old and new Jerusalem, but New Mexico. You follow me? So they went to New Mexico, was where Brother Branham preached the seals, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Is that right? Then, from there, Brother John took a little trailer, pulled his tent, his trailer, which really has a lot, I could say a lot about that tent and what it represents. But had that tent and pulled it to Tucson, Arizona. Now some of you know just before he did this, that Brother Tom Carnes, that I said had to do with Brother Branham, you know, that pulled away from this and helped with Brother Branham, studied every book he could get a hold of, just a walking book. Brother Tom Carnes took Brother Ezekiel, and both of them went out to Arizona to denote the Valley of Dry Bones at that time. When I made the statement that the move was on, can these bones live again? Is that right? They went out there. Brother John, symbolizing the resurrection, went out there also. Brother Tom brought back books and things from out there. All right, now listen, real close. The trailer that John had, it came from Tom. Is that right? Now there's your tie right there. It came through Brother Richard. Is that right? That's where your tie with your Jew comes. All right now. It went to Brother John, but we made it over brand new. Is that right? The brethren made it over brand new. Because it about gone its last mile, so to speak. But he made it brand new. Or they did. He took it, went down to the place of the change. Then, the old having gone out, because we had changed it, the old having gone out, he took his old trailer. He set it right at my back door. Is that right? I spoke about it. Brother Ben DeHealy and what he represented, when he come in, I gave it to him and Sister Dolly. How many of you remember that it was at that time that she found her loved ones that had been lost for many long years? And I said it had to do with the Jews coming in. It had been lost all. Is that right? For 20, 30 years, she hadn't seen her son. I don't know just how long. We prayed. It worked perfect, didn't it? Then the next phase of it was that the Utica Pike lost and found thing. Brother Mitch had got the trailer from the woman at Utica Pike that had seen the vision of the lost that Brother Branham had said that was the found of it in our meeting. Is that right? I'm talking about the spirit of Elisha coming back now. Brother Mitch had never told me that. He brought the trailer. I wanted to get it for Brother Marlowe. I got it, and Mitch told me, said, he owed a little money on it. Said, I'll just let you have it for what we owe on it. And I said, well, I'll take it. Of course, I gave it to Brother Marlowe, and later Mitch decided he wanted to pay for it all together. So the brethren ain't paid nothing on it. But anyway, Brother Marlowe came along, and Brother Marlowe was altogether a David Terrell man. He'll tell you that. But when he came there, I said that indicated Brother Branham going out. Is that right? How many remember that? I said, that's Brother Branham going out. She said, what is that? Brother Marlowe was speaking about being a prophet, the end of the law and the prophets. How? Where was it? Until John, because that's where John's trailer had been sitting. And I gave it to Ben. So then, I let Brother Marlowe have a trailer. Brother Marlowe went on a 40-day fast, because Jesus said the 40 days of fasting that went on was to fulfill the Old Testament wandering in the wilderness. Brother Marlowe constantly spoke about the miracle gas and the pillar of fire all the time during that 40 days. I told some of them, I said, watch it, it'll go out. It went out after the 40 days. Because when the wilderness was wandering was over, they crossed over Jordan, they went into the area of the day star. There's no longer any need for Brother Branham's pillar of fire, which was the pillar of fire by night in the dark age. Is that right? Because even time is to be light, the day star dawning in your heart, it was to come in as a revelation. Is that right? Now, God a consuming fire in the night, but when we come into the mind of Christ, we're not in the beast mind, which is the night, the darkness from evening till morning, but we've come into the mind of Christ, we come into the daylight. Is that right? When we come into the daylight, then the sun itself stands still. Is that right? How many understand what I'm saying now? Crossing over the carnal mind of the Jordan, getting over the carnal mind, entered into the Canaan land where the sun stands still. You follow me now? All right, now, Brother Marlowe went on a 40-day fast. The pillar of fire went out. Is that right? When the pillar of fire went out, it signified the finishing of the move of Brother Branham, because that was the Utica Pike lost and found. Brother Marlowe, being typical of Brother Terrell, which was typical of Brother Branham, it was a closed out of him, and Brother Marlowe said God spoke to him. Brother Marlowe said, Lord, I've been following Brother Terrell. He said, God said, I have put you with Brother Pike, and you're to stay there until I tell you to leave. Is that right, Brother Marlowe? See, the closing out, the changing over, and then the next move of God. Is that right? Whereas when the thing was thoroughly closed out by the change in Del Rio, Brother John, following the Spirit, the steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord, he followed the leadership of the Lord. He went straight to the Arizona desert. Why? Because it was a separation of the twins. You follow me? When he got there, 40 miles, maybe out of Phoenix, was it? 60 miles out of Tucson, the 60, closing out the Gentile age, the 40 to the Jew, caught in between here, is that right? Going from Tucson to Phoenix, changing over to the Jews. When he got right between the 40 and the 60, he called back. And Brother John had gone his ultimate because it was the close out of it, coming from where the changeover was in Del Rio. When he got there, it indicated that a resurrection was to come. That's about the time you put that message, inspiration, on the Indiana station. And it went around. You remember what we said about the stations. So a quick thing all around the country. It was to flash. Then it was to be raptured away toward Del Rio in that, you know, we spoke of XERM. All right, now, and I'm going to close out here in just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. So then, when Brother John got to Tucson, Arizona, Brother John, all of a sudden, he called me. I was communicating with him by phone now at Brother Charlie's. Whereas I spoke about Charlie, remember, the voice said to Charlie, I'll take you over Jordan. I gave him that hat. Y'all know what that has to do with. I said, it had to do with Brother Branham. I was talking with him at Brother Charlie's. While I was communicating with him, Brother John said, the Lord showed me that at this point I'm to start working with you, Brother Pike. You follow me now? See, the Calvin side of Brother John was then dead. You understand what I'm saying? John lost his educational head because he was a great educated man. If he'd went that way, he'd been a great prominent in the world. But willing as Paul to treat all that as dumb to take up this, he lost his head. All right, now, John lost all that he could have got out of his educational abilities. He laid it down. The Calvin side of him, which was Brother Baldwin. You follow me? See, Brother Calvin Baldwin, Brother Delma Baldwin, but if you do away with the name Delmer on Delmer's part and do away with the name Baldwin on the other part and take Calvin Baldwin, it's Calvin Baldwin. It's about Calvin John. So then, Brother Calvin, which is Brother Calvin here, his name's Calvin, Brother Calvin had at last folded up that which was old and laid it away. As a matter of fact, it's out there in Coolidge. So they put it on ice. It's out there in Coolidge. So he said, I'm supposed to work with you. All right, an eternal abundant life check went to pull him out of the desert. At the same time he was talking to me, being typical of picking up the children in the wilderness, and of course that goes back to Brother Albert coming over here and John being over there teaching those children out of Georgia books and so forth. A lot to them. But anyway, Brother John picked it up out of the Tucson desert. When he picked it up, he said, I'm to work with you. You follow me? So then, when I was talking with him, I spoke about the change from Brother Frank to Brother Eddie, the Joshua thing, the crossing of the Jordan. About that time, the children came in and gave me a little lamb. They had made a little lamb in school. And just as I went to say something to John, John spoke concerning the lamb, the forerunning, see, changing from the Calvin to the John, Brother Branham, which was the forerunner. How many followers want to say him? Amen. Made it himself twain, both the Calvin and the John. The John, intellectual, natural man. I mean, the Calvin, intellectual, natural man. The John, the revelated man of this perspective. The Calvin part of it denoted Brother Branham's, that they made it into a letter, you know, dot, dash. You remember the vision I had about the feathers where I put them all together. So then, Brother John left Calvin in Coolidge. You follow me? Brother Delma immediately made a change, saying, I know now that this is what it's going to take. Brother John spoke of forerunning, and I looked, and the little lamb said, behold, the Lamb of God. Brother John came back. We made no plans to set up anything. John, being led by the Spirit, set up the meetings. We were gone exactly 7 days, which had to do with the fulfillment of that thing. And then the cycle of this, as I said, wandering in the wilderness, everybody out there not coming in, because it is establishing of the wandering in the wilderness, the establishing of the fact that the elders is cut off, that they did not believe this revelation. You know that they don't have it. The things that we're talking about tonight, you know that they don't have it out there. If they've got it in seminary, I wish somebody would bring it and show it to me. If they got it in the denominational churches, I wish you'd bring it and show it to me. So then, if it isn't out there, then where is it? It's with you. If it's with you, and if it is God, then that makes you the head of the nation. You follow me? Denominations. That's what it comes to in the third perspective. So then, Brother John went to Twin City. Now notice this. He went to Tucson, Arizona, went to Twin City, wandering around. You follow me? He had gone to Tucson, come back here, set up the meetings to show the end of the church ages. Brother Branham fulfilling the church ages. You remember in Macon, John, when we set up there, the first thing that he published was that on the faith that was supposed to be the Israeli translation to go to the Israel. Is that right? The Jews. All right, then on the faith. And you remember what that had to do with that 6,000-mile tour that made that change down yonder, Frank? You know what that means? Going down to the change where it took that track with us. Then it was changed over from that track cover, changed over to the Israeli cover. And the first place it come was Macon, which I said had to do with Israel changing over to the Jew. Is that right? So then, God going back to the Jew means he's turned back to the church. Left off with the world. Left off with the revival, like Brother Branham said. Now it's become effective. Now it's Joseph revealing himself to the brethren, which is Christ within you, the hope of glory. Is that right? That means it's the rapture. Because it wasn't given to them to know the mysteries, but the doctrine of it, which Brother Branham called the message. But to us, it is the unveil, not seeing through a glass darkly, which is the beast intelligence. Let's sing a little chorus together. Praise God. You love the Lord, Ed. Let's sing the little chorus, I love you, Brother Martin.
I